Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, we're going to be discussing Colin Sexton and his fit with the Lakers with Tony Jones of The Athletic. He covers the Jazz and the Sixers, has covered the Jazz extensively for over a decade, so covered Colin Sexton's tenure over there. We'll be analyzing his fit off the bench, whether he can step into a larger role when Luka and or Austin miss time, his scalability into a playoff context, and much more. Let's get into it. All right, let's talk some Colin Sexton. The Lakers have been shuffling through backup point guards / combo guards over the last few years. Dennis Schroeder, Gabe Vincent, Kendrick Nunn. Can Colin Sexton finally be the answer there? He signed a 2-year deal, 1+1 essentially. But what do you think of his fit in LA as the de facto sixth man right now?
So his skill set is exactly what they need. They need somebody that can come off the bench and dribble. And I don't think they had
they can use that, yeah.
last year. Right. It was a stagger situation. Like the dribblers with the second unit were LeBron and Austin, right? So, you know, they need somebody like when you're staggering Luka and Austin, somebody that could come in and get paint touches. The strength of Colin Sexton's game is he's a walking paint touch. Just flat out walking paint touch. Very hard to stay in front of. Relentless guy off the dribble. Doesn't care who you are. Believes that he can score on you. And he's, for the most part, he's correct. Can make shots. And he's a dog. Like, he's a dog on both ends of the floor. I don't think he's a good defender, but I do think he's a dog of a defender.
I like the distinction there.
But you know what? I mean, he's a,
we'll get
he's
into
a
the
competitive
defense.
Defender. So, but it's he's, but offensively, like if you just need somebody to come in, tunnel vision, 15 points, he's going to do that for you. And he's going to do that for you every night. He's going to get to the line. He's going to get, he can score from three levels. He's a guy who I think can really keep an offense going in the 5 or 6 minutes that Luka's sitting and then the 5 or 6 minutes that Austin Reeves is sitting. I do think that he's a better fit with Austin Reeves than Luka Doncic, but it's going to be really interesting to see how JJ makes that part work.
If Luka or Austin misses time, how capable do you think he is stepping into a larger role and helping run the show from a playmaking and passing perspective, especially because I think he can clearly score the ball. We've seen that throughout his career. That's no issue. He, to your point, like walks into 15 plus points per game every season. But from a running the show, high pick and roll, similar to Grimes, like if Austin or Luka gets banged up, do you think he can start as a placeholder starter or just assume, you know, 30, 32 minute a night roll off the bench, potentially just to kind of keep the ship afloat offensively?
I would probably, who are the guards behind him? Let's say Luke.
Cameron Carr, Bronny.
Yeah, let's say Lucas.
Hardy. Yeah, it's not great. Not a lot of depth behind him.
I would start Carr or Bronny. Play him as placeholder starters and play Colin Sexton 32 minutes a night. He'll play 32 minutes a night, whether he starts or like, let's say one of the two are out. He'll play 32 minutes a night.
More like a staggering situation between him and Austin or him and
Luka.
But
you want him to, cause he's not running the show. You know, he's not running the offense. It's the reason why he hasn't become a star. And it's the reason why his career has become six man, because if the way he can score, if he were able to actually run a team and get guys in the spots they needed to get and make plays for guys consistently, I mean, we'd be talking about $100 million player easy, because he's that good a scorer. I wouldn't want to have ambiguity with his role. So if Luka or Austin are out, I jump one of the guards into the starting lineup. Maybe Bronny, maybe Cam Carr, maybe even Matisse Thybulle, maybe even or downshift.
I guess Thybulle and Zaire are technically guards too. I guess if you want to classify them that
or
way.
Let's say you have Kuminga. Let's say Kuminga's on a roster. You can downshift Quentin to the two and have and put Kuminga in the starting lineup. You can do that, or Zaire Williams or Matisse Thybulle, because
one of the wings,
you can play Quentin at the two just as easily as you can play him at the three. He's probably more of a two than a three. I'd probably do that before I put Colin in the starting line, because you just want his scoring punch off the bench. But then, you know, if you kind of expand his role and say, all right, Colin, I need you to score 20, but I also need you to get 8 assists, and I also need you to get Walker Kessler involved offensively, then that's when you're going to start getting into problems with Colin. If you just say, Colin, I need you to get 20, like, that's what he can do. And he can do that, you know. If you play him 25 minutes off the bench while you stagger Luka and Austin, he can do that. Or if you have to expand that to 32 minutes, you know, while one of Luka and Austin are down, then he can do that as well. But you don't want to put too much on his plate, because that's when some of the weaknesses start to show.
The most underrated part of his game, in my opinion, is his 3-point shooting.
Very good.
Outside of one season, he shot 37% or better on threes in his other 7 seasons. And the last 4 years, it's been 39%+. So how much of a weapon can he be as a weak side shooter and fitting into a system where he's not going to be the primary or even secondary ball handler necessarily? Most of the usage is going to be Luka and Austin bringing the ball up the floor, initiating the offense. He can obviously help with that, take some of the load off of them, but I think he is going to be more of a finisher, more of a shooter, especially one playing next to those guys.
It's also one of the reasons why you want to bring him off the bench, because he's a better shooter off the dribble than he is standing still. So you want him.
That's noteworthy.
You want him because he's such a good shooter in terms of making people respect his speed and respect the fact that his explosion off the dribble and respect the fact that he can get into the lane, that it creates space. And he's really good at pushing hard at a defender and just pulling up from the top of the key and knocking home a three. Like, he's really, really good at that. And, you know, if he's playing off the ball, you kind of take that part of his game away from him a little bit. And, you know, so that's another reason why you want him to come off the bench. I think JJ has a luxury with Colin Sexton that you can almost rest Luka and Austin at the same time and not have to worry about staggering them, because, you know, Colin has the ability to sustain offense by himself. If he's on the floor, like, you know, if Colin and Quentin Grimes are your backcourt in the middle of November, you know, for the last 4 minutes of the first quarter and the first 3 minutes of the second quarter, before you bring one of Luka and Austin back, you're not going to lose much. You're still going to be able to score points. And then on top of that, you're better on the back end because your first 2 guys are still fresh.
You mentioned his defense a bit ago, so let's dive into that. He's someone that is active and energetic, and I actually think a lot of people think he's a good defender because he's the type that will pressure 94 feet, slap the ground, and he's animated on that side of the ball. But when you watch the film, you dive into the numbers, he's somewhere between below average to bad on that end. So how problematic is his defense when trying to fit him into a scheme and a coherent defense? And is that overblown, or do you think that's a real concern?
Another reason why you want him coming off the bench, because then if
all roads lead back to the bench,
all roads lead to six man. If you have him out there on starter minutes, then eventually that water is going to show, like, absolutely. And like you said, you know, he's going to get down in a stance. He's going to look at his guy menacingly, and he's going to move. He's going to turn his guy once or twice, and then you're looking at it and you're like, wow, Collins really locking up. He's sitting down. He's defending, and then the tape stops, but then the tape doesn't show that the guy's at the basket laying the ball up. So, I think that he's a competitive defender, which is a skill in and of itself, and which has value in and of itself. He will legitimately make you go to a second, third, or fourth move to score. Now, you're eventually going to score, but the difference is there are guys who just really don't give a crap about defense, and they'll let you score, on your first move or your second move. So here's the difference to that. If a guy is scoring on his first move and second move over and over again, that's the guy that's going to shoot 14 for 17 from the field over the course of the game. And he's going to have 35 to 40 points. And, he's going to be on SportsCenter because he cooked everybody. But if you're Colin Sexton and you make a guy go to his third or fourth move, and eventually he's going to score, what's going to happen? Eventually, even if they're easy shots, you're using so much energy, you're still going to miss some of those shots. So instead of that 14 for 17, maybe it's 9 for 17. Maybe it's 10 for 17. And maybe, those 1 to 2 to 3 misses over the course of the game help you actually win the game, because Luka Doncic is still unstoppable on that end. And he is the one that's good enough that no matter how good a defense you play, he's still shooting 14 for 17. So that's the best thing that you could say for Colin Sexton's defense. He'll make you expend energy to score because he's competitive. Eventually you're going to score. Eventually you're going to get a good shot, but he's going to make you work for it. And that's a skill, and that has value over somebody like Trae Young, who really doesn't care to play defense, and you're going to score without expending energy at all.
Do you think that his defensive limitations potentially limit his fit next to Luka and Austin? Because when I think about point guard size guys who have been able to scale into a larger role next to bigger primary ball handlers, I think of one of the first names is Patrick Beverley, right? In Houston with Harden for years. But one of the things with Patrick Beverley was he was an elite defender. So he didn't necessarily have to be point guard offensively. He would just spot up on offense, and then defensively he would take those assignments. When I think about Sexton trying to fit into a lineup with Luka and Austin, I do wonder if you just at that point don't have enough perimeter defense. And you're going to put Walker Kessler out there to protect the basket, but then there's a ton of pressure on whoever's that fourth perimeter guy, whether Grimes, Thibault, whoever it is. They have to be like Superman on the perimeter at that point. So is there a potential limitation there? And that's like just my biggest hesitation with him. I think 20, 22, 24 minutes a night, I think he makes sense. Anything more than that, if the Lakers are in a position asking him to do that, if Luka and Austin are healthy, like I think about a playoff context, I just don't know that he could really do that because of the defense. And if he was more in line with a Beverly, a Schroeder, Vincent before he fell off in LA, like that type of defensive guard who can, I think, play in like three guard lineups, I think he would have more utility that way. But is that a real limitation, or do you think that it isn't much of a factor?
No, it's a real limitation for sure. And, it's going to remain to be seen how much Collins is going to be able to play in the playoffs.
Which he hasn't done yet.
Because the thing about it is, once you get to the playoffs, Luka's going to play 44 minutes. And, Austin's going to play 40 to 42 minutes. So, and that leaves in the backcourt off the bench, that leaves what, four, at least like 10 minutes, right? So in that 10 minutes, it's going to depend on what you want. Do you need Colin Sexton to play those 10 minutes, or do you need Matisse Thybulle to play those 10 minutes because you need to stop people? You know, so it's going to be, I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, what the playoff dynamic is once the Lakers do, get to the playoffs. But I think one of the best things about Colin is he's a regular season innings eater. And I think that has, people don't realize just how much value innings eaters have. Because even if they can't play in the playoffs, they keep your guys fresh for the playoffs. And, you know, that has a lot of value. And you know, Colin's going to play a lot of games, and he's going to be available to play, you know, as many minutes as you need. And I think that, you know, and if he does that, then, you know, he's going to really contribute to the greater good of the Lakers overall. But I just really like him as a sixth man, being able to sustain offense and spell, you know, those guys, you know, for 15 to 20 minutes a night.
Final question on Colin. Going back to the last couple seasons, the Lakers have had a spiritual leader, let's say, in the locker room in terms of Dorian Finney-Smith comes in and immediately the defense dramatically improves. They unlock the small ball look, and he's the guy that's keeping everybody in check. It was a pretty introverted, quiet group. He's the one, he's like the spark plug. The following season, they replaced DFS with Marcus Smart, who provides a similar boost to the locker room. Do you feel like Colin Sexton can be that type of player or leader? You've mentioned his competitiveness. We've mentioned how defensively he'll get after it, even if he isn't the best defender. Like, can he have that type of impact off the bench? Because I do think, I look at it as more of like a role player task of who's the guy kind of galvanizing everybody, can have the difficult conversations, can relay the message from the coaching staff. Some of that will come from Luka, some of that will come from Austin, and I think JJ will have to do a bit more as well. But in terms of like the supporting cast, can Colin step in to that type of role, or is that not really his personality?
One of the reasons why I will always roll with Colin Sexton is he's a maniac competitor. And I think that more than anything, I think he's going to lift the competitiveness collectively on this team. There were guys.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah. There were guys in Utah, and they were like, man, I try to get to the gym at 6 o'clock. Colin Sexton's already there. He's in a full sweat. He's lathered up. He's taking jump shots. And it's that. We played two overtimes last night. Why is he already still in the gym? Like, that's the kind of guy that Colin Sexton is. He works on his craft. He works on his game. He takes it seriously. He takes the game seriously. And he, you know, he's a guy that you know, he doesn't, like, he has weaknesses, but he's a professional. And he's a really good guy. And he's a really competitive guy. So, you know, I really think, from that perspective, that he's going to really, you know, help this roster and lift this roster from that perspective. And, you know, and I think that, you know, outwardly on the floor, you know, even if he's getting scored on, the fact that he's like, yo, I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to guard this guy. You know, people are going to see that, and people see that, and people react to that. And they react to guys who outwardly care. And Colin Sexton outwardly cares. There are going to be games where, you know, the Lakers are going to be down 15 points, and they're going to come back from 15, and Colin Sexton is going to go to the basket. They're down four. He's going to go to the basket. He's going to take a bump, and he's going to score, and he's going to, like, lay on the floor, and he's going to, like, raise both fists in the air, and the entire arena is going to be on his feet, because he's that kind of galvanizer. And those are some of the best things that anybody can say about him. You know, he's a competitor. He's a dogged competitor, and he's a dogged personality as well. So I think that and I will say one more thing. Colin Sexton is one of the nicest people I've ever covered. Flat out. Just one of the nicest people. Absolutely, you know, sees people, treats people the right way, that he doesn't have to treat the right way, which is, you know, a real telltale of what kind of human being and what kind of person you are. And, you know, he's, I remember two summers ago, you know, I saw me and my daughter were at a pro-am game in Utah and Colin was there. And my daughter was like, I just want to, you know, take a photo with him. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, we're not going to bother Colin because, you know, he's just there chilling and, you know, he's just at this pro-am game. And, you know, my daughter was pestering me. And, I said, look, Colin, I said, this is beyond our relationship. You know, as reporter, player, I'm still going to criticize you. Can you take this picture with my daughter? And he was like, man, you didn't even have to ask me that. And he took like four or five photos with my kid, and he just did not have to. And that's the kind of human being that he is. So I'll probably always roll with Colin no matter what.
Tony, you are the man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. No one has the insight into the Lakers new additions quite like you. So you got a busy season ahead covering the Sixers, a lot of newsers. I've been there. A lot of newsers coming up, but appreciate you, man. It was great to see you. And outside of The Athletic and your X account, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nah, man. It was just, I'm on IG, T Jones at Athletic, it was great to get on here and chop it up with you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you, and appreciate you all for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.